The past 18 months have generated many challenging questions. Our leaders have had to consider the best way to look after the physical and mental health of everyone in our society and the flow and effects of every single decision. On a more personal level, our daily lives are full of decisions. Should I take that job or not? Should I pursue that relationship or not? Should I apply for that course or not? Should I seek medical treatment or not? Should I put my parents into an aged care home or not? Our world is full of knowledge. We have endless information at our fingertips. And yet, we regularly find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to do. Ever since the fall in Genesis 3, our world has been broken, which makes it complex to navigate. Take these two modern proverbs. Too many cooks spoil the broth, and many hands make light work. Now, these statements blatantly contradict each other, yet they can both be true in different situations. So, when do we know when each one is right? Well, we need wisdom. But where do we get this wisdom? The Bible, which is the Word of God. As we continue our series in How to Grow in Faith, this is the topic we'll be considering today: godly wisdom through God's word. In Proverbs chapters 1 to 9, we find an appeal from a father to his son to pursue wisdom over folly. So let's dive into the early part of this appeal in Proverbs 2, 1 to 11. These instructions come in the form of an if-then conditional clause. If you do this, then that will happen. In verses 1 to 4, we find the if part of the clause. The father says to his son, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, dot, dot, dot." Now, note that the father doesn't just want his son to listen to his words, but to store them up and apply them to his heart. Not only this, but he urges him to actively cry out for wisdom, like he's searching for precious treasure. Now, we can ascertain here that this passage is an instruction for us to do the same with God's words. So, if we accept God's words and store up his commands within us, turning our ear to wisdom and applying our heart to understanding, if we call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if we look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, if we not only listen to God's words but store them up and apply them to our hearts, if we actively cry out for wisdom like we're searching for precious treasure, dot, 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 what happens? Well, we reach the then part of the clause in verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We're told in chapter 1 of Proverbs that this reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 6 clearly states that it is the Lord who gives wisdom. It is from his mouth that come knowledge and understanding. We see the clear benefits of seeking and receiving God's wisdom in the following verses. We read verses 7 to 11. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Godly wisdom, Proverbs tells us, results in success, protection, comfort, and justice. With wisdom, we're able to discern every good path. With wisdom, we make good decisions which guard and protect us. With wisdom, we understand what is right and just and fair. We have a godly conscience, as it were, and we're able to think through the consequences of our actions. Proverbs tells us in the remainder of chapter 2 that the opposite is also true. Ignoring God's word results in stumbling, suffering, wrongdoing, and judgment. In fact, the entire book of Proverbs is built on the premise that God blesses the godly and punishes the ungodly. But is this always true? We must remember that the book of Proverbs is full of wise sayings, but not guaranteed promises of blessings from God. They are proverbs, wise observations on how life usually goes, but not promises. Therefore, we must read this book, like every other book in the Bible, in the broader story of Scripture. And when we look at the broader picture of the Bible, we find that things are a little more complex than the book of Proverbs might suggest. For example, in Genesis, the patriarchs, though being followers of God who are seeking his wisdom, all experience suffering. The book of Ecclesiastes questions and nuances the optimism in Proverbs. Famously, the book of Job is about a godly man who suffers and doesn't understand why. Likewise, some of the Psalms include godly people crying out to God in the midst of their suffering and asking, how long must this go on? Ultimately, in the New Testament, Jesus tells his followers to take up their cross and follow him. And we see the early church being persecuted and scattered throughout the book of Acts for their godly lives. The Apostle Paul's life is also full of difficulty, and the book of Revelation makes it clear that the saints must suffer. So yes, there is wisdom in God's word, and yes, we're called to read, learn, and obey it. But success, protection, comfort, and justice are not guaranteed in this world. The cross of Christ shows us that. Broader scripture makes it clear that all of these blessings will only be fulfilled when the Lord returns. Now, while God doesn't offer guaranteed success and protection this side of heaven when we seek his wisdom, the Bible is clear that God's way is the best way to navigate the ups and downs of life. So, if godly wisdom is found in God's word, if God is calling us to seek his wisdom like hidden treasure, and if it really is the best way to navigate the ups and downs of life, it's definitely worth prioritising time spent in it. A great place to start to do this is in community. At St Alfred's and St Luke's, growth groups are a place to sit together regularly with brothers and sisters and to dive into God's word, reflect on it, and obey it. If you're interested in joining a group, please do get in contact with Mike McNamara, Bronwyn Fernando, or Mark Simon. If you're keen to spend some more time in God's word on a personal level, here are some tips for you. Number one, pray. I wonder, do you read God's word like a love letter or a newspaper? Do you hang on every word and reread it again and again? Or do you read it like information to analyze? Pray for a hunger and thirst for God's word. Also, ask others to pray that you would have a desire for it. Psalm 119 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Also, each time before you read, pray that God's Spirit would be speaking to you through his word. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you the wisdom to apply the words that you read to your specific circumstances in life today. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Second tip, choose to prioritize. Lockdowns have provided many of us with more free time than ever before, and yet regular personal Bible reading is often still a struggle. The reality is, if something is important, you'll make time for it, right? If there's a Netflix show that you really want to watch, you're going to stay up until 4 a.m, even if you have an 8 a.m. Zoom meeting the next morning. If you really want to spend time with your kids or your friends, you'll move whatever else you had on that day to do this. We choose to make time for what's important. Sorry, it's important to make the active choice to prioritize time in God's word. Number three, create realistic goals. Start small and achievable. Don't plan to read the Bible for an hour every day and then fail after 3 days. Instead, perhaps aim for 2 minutes a day and go from there. Know yourself and your routine. Are you a morning person or a night person? If you're not a morning person, aiming to set your alarm half an hour early every morning to read your Bible may not be very sustainable. Instead, choose to read when you know that you're most alert and in a pattern that you know you can continue. Number four, remove distractions. When you spend time in God's Word, turn off notifications on your phone and computer and place yourself in an environment where you're not going to be interrupted. Number five, mix it up. Do speed reading and slow reading. For example, some days you might want to read multiple chapters to capture the big picture of God's story, and other days you might meditate on just a few verses. Six, consider journaling. Perhaps write down some key ideas as you read. What is God saying to me in this passage? How is he calling me to obey him? Seven, share what you're reading with family and friends. Just like you would excitedly share with your friends and family about the latest Netflix series you've been watching or the latest book you've been reading, share with them what you've been reading in the Bible too. Eight, show yourself grace. Remember that we're not saved by how much time we spend reading the Bible. If you miss a day in your Bible reading plan, that's okay. Just pick it up again the next day. Number nine, link your Bible reading to an existing daily habit. So have a think about the things that you already do every day. You might wake up to an alarm, use the bathroom, have breakfast, or drive somewhere. So for example, for me at the moment, I have Isaiah 43 as my morning alarm, which is, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And I also have the letter of Philemon on the wall in my bathroom so I can read it each day. Number 10, follow a plan and make use of resources. It's probably best not to just randomly open the Bible to any passage. It's important to know the context of what we're reading. For example, you could read the YouVersion Bible app. A couple of years ago, some friends and I read the Bible in a year using this app. So we would read the passage ourselves, tick it off, and then share in a chat on the app what God had said to us in the passage. It was great for accountability, and it meant that we were all reading the same stuff for a whole year, so we could chat about it when we hung out too. Audio Bibles are another great option. A couple of years ago, I read through the Bible in a year just by having it come on whenever I drove somewhere in my car. Other resources you could use include Explore, WordGrow Bible Study Fellowship, Scripture Union Daily Bread, Every Day with Jesus, or One Year Bible, among many others. In all of this Bible reading, let us heed the warning of James 1:22-25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. When you read the Bible, you could ask yourself this question. Lord, how are you asking me to respond in obedience to you in this passage? And then go away and do it. Ask others to keep you accountable and perhaps even keep reading the same passage until you actively obey. It's also worth remembering that God's way of wisdom can sometimes look foolish to the world, which we see at its heart in the cross of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. When we seek Jesus and his wisdom through God's word, when we listen to his words and store them up in our hearts, when we cry out for them and seek them as though we were searching for precious treasure, then we'll be able to discern every good path. So let us spend time in God's word together and individually and obey what it says. Let us remember that though the wisdom of God may sometimes look foolish to the world, it is ultimately the best way to navigate the ups and the downs of life. Amen.